Now the deep water horizon descends down to the death's door, and at the bird's foot they've lost a home. Cause all the leaves are drifting for miles and miles, poisoning
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Damon Moglen, who is the Climate and Energy Program Director at Friends of the Earth and the former Global Warming Campaign Director at Greenpeace USA. He has worked on climate, energy, and nuclear issues for nearly 20 years with Greenpeace International, Physicians for Social Responsibility, and the Union of Concerned Scientists. Welcome to Background Briefing, Damon Moglen.
Good evening, Ian. Thank you for having me.
And it is a surreal and an extremely disturbing image to see rivers of oil flowing through the streets of Mayflower, Arkansas, a small town, but just outside of the capital, Little Rock, not the capital, but the major city, Little Rock. But what's even more disturbing is to learn that this oil is the Canadian tar sands crude oil.
Well, yes, I think the images are just absolutely extraordinary to see this viscous, gunky tar sands oil flowing down people's driveway, down across sidewalks, down streets. It is really striking. And as you were saying, this is this unusual form of oil, tar sands oil, from Alberta, Canada. And this stuff is more difficult to transport, more difficult to clean up. And it's mixed in with chemicals in order to make it flow. So it also has cancer-causing chemicals mixed in with this terribly gunky oil substance.
So obviously there's a major debate going on for some, and has been going for some time, about the tar sands crude oil being shipped via the Keystone XL pipeline from the tar sands of Alberta, Canada, down to refineries in Texas. And many activists, Bill McKibben, for example, demonstrate in front of the White House to raise awareness of it. The initial State Department permission was withdrawn, and then they did another study. So bring us up to date on where things stand, because it's inescapable that at some point or other, even though the polls indicate there's a, I think, a 60-plus percent support in this country, or two-thirds of the American people back the Keystone Pipeline. When they put two and two together with this oil spill in Arkansas and where this oil comes from, maybe those numbers will change.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion by any means that the Keystone XL Pipeline is going to go ahead. I think that one of the things that this is going to prove is that this tar sands oil is indeed more difficult to transport through the pipes. It degrades the pipes, and that when and if we have spills, that it's more difficult to clean it up. So I think those are going to be emblazoned in people's minds as they think about this. But I think it's also going to become clear that, in fact, this oil is being piped through the United States, not for use in the United States, but in fact to be transported to refineries in the Texas Gulf, and then moved into international commerce. So in a sense, the United States is just being used as a as an area across which this oil is moved and then refined in order to make profits in Canada, but not in fact to be used in the United States. And I think increasingly U.S. people are going to be asking the question, why should we be making it possible for a Canadian oil company to be making billions of dollars in profits when this stuff is obviously dangerous to transport and dangerous and difficult to clean up?
So, Damon Moglen, again, the Climate and Energy Program Director at Friends of the Earth. As far as I know, this pipeline, I mean, in fact, I think it's pretty well established that this pipeline that's broken, the Pegasus pipeline, it comes from the 1940s. I mean, this is an old pipeline. It's owned by Exxon. So where does it fit into the Keystone? Is this a part of the northern, or must be the southern part? So give us
Go ahead. Well, as you said, this is part of the so-called Pegasus pipeline, and this particular pipe runs from Patoka, Illinois, to the Texas Gulf Coast. And in Illinois, it in turn connects to one of the older Keystone, or may well in, connect to one of the older Keystone pipes, but nonetheless connects to a pipe that's bringing the oil from the Canadian tar sands. So this is a pipe, part of which, as you said, actually traces back to the 1940s. But in fact, ExxonMobil says that it's recently expanded and upgraded some parts of the pipe. But the bottom line is that this is one of the pipes that is indeed begun to carry this dirty and dangerous Canadian tar sands oil. And as you have said, there is, of course, this proposal to build a extraordinarily long pipeline directly from Alberta, Canada, across the center of the United States, down to the Gulf. That would be a pipeline, again, like this one, carrying only this Canadian tar sands oil into the international market out of the Gulf.
But my understanding is, Damon Moglen, that to even get the oil out of the tar sands up in Alberta, they use enormous amounts of water. And I was, Bill McKibben's flown over that area, and he said it looks like Mordor. It's the end of the earth, because right. There's just huge, huge lakes of this brackish water that's destroyed forever. And more and more, we're starting to realize that water is becoming a more and more valuable resource. But so all this water is being destroyed, but it's being used. They have to heat it up, tremendous temperatures, and through high pressure hoses, they essentially hose the tar out of hose the sand out of the tar, and then they take this gunk, and then they have to keep it hot. And then you're saying they have to mix in these chemicals, toxic chemicals, to make it flow through these pipes. So explain that process, let alone the fact that the environment up in Alberta is being destroyed water is being destroyed forever. And I don't know what the ratio of water to oil is, but apparently it's extraordinary. So every barrel of this this gunk has already cost, the water for posterity. So,
well, that's right. I mean, this is, you've given a very good description. In fact, this is an extraordinarily environmentally damaging, carbon-producing, greenhouse gas-producing, an extraordinarily expensive way of extracting oil. You've got to clear-cut these beautiful virgin forests, and then you've got to literally pump extraordinarily superheated water into what amounts to tarry sand, in order to extract this gunky tar substance out of the sand. And in so doing, you're using vast amounts of energy, which in turn are, of course, producing massive carbon emissions. It's been estimated that perhaps the production of tar sands oil is as much as three times the carbon emissions of other oil products. But in any case, you then got to get all this gunky water. You've got to extract the gunky oil out of the water. That water is then a pollutant itself. And now what you've got is this extremely abrasive, gunky kind of bitumen product to which you have to add chemicals in order to make it capable of flowing through a pipe. You've also got to, of course, put pressure in that pipe to make this substance flow. And these are all part of the problems of what happens if there is a spill. If there is a spill, you're dealing with this very heavy, thick, sticky oil product, which is mixed in with a whole witch's brew of chemicals, including, for example, benzene and others that we know are cancer-causing, in order to make it flow. And yet, once you're in the environment, you've got these chemicals and this terribly tarry substance. And in turn, if this tarry substance gets into the water, unlike other oils which float at the surface, the lighter oils, this stuff falls to the seabed or the riverbed or whatever, the lake bed. We have to be worried about Lake Conway in this case. And in turn, it becomes mixed in with the strata at the bottom of the water body, and it becomes extremely difficult and costly to clean it up. So a lot of different environmental issues and public health issues are posed by allowing this stuff to get out into the environment.
So tell us about what's the destruction so far in Mayflower, Arkansas, from this Exxon pipeline that's spilling.
That's right. I mean, Just as in the case of the Exxon Valdez, in the case of the pipeline disaster in the Gulf, we've had a situation that the pipeline burst apparently started on Friday, and over the weekend, Exxon's estimates of how much oil was being released astronomically increased. In fact, between Saturday and Sunday, they estimated three times the original estimate, which, as you'll remember from the pipeline bursting in the Gulf, we had burst in the Gulf, that we had a similar situation with astronomical increases of how much oil. At this point, it's being estimated that as much as 12,000 barrels or over 500,000 gallons of this oil substance has escaped into the environment. The bottom line here is that because this is a buried pipe, we really don't know. And until they begin to excavate and we get a real sense of where the pipeline has burst, how much material has entered into the ground and perhaps into water, we really don't know exactly how much oil has escaped. But as you were saying earlier, what we do have are these extraordinary images of the oil running down people's driveways, across sidewalks, and down the street.
And you said Lake Conway is threatened.
This is one of the big concerns, is that if the oil were to get into storm drains that in turn flowed into nearby Lake Conway, that there really would be a risk from the tar sands oil fouling Lake Conway, the natural resources of Lake Conway, and in turn, of course, that's a reservoir body, so potentially also water that could be used for other purposes.
And again, I'm speaking with Damon Moglen, who is the Climate and Energy Program Director at Friends of the Earth. We're talking about the surreal and hideous nature of what's going on in the town of Mayflower, Arkansas, where the viscous Canadian crude tar sand oil is flowing through the streets from a pipeline that's burst, belongs to Exxon Mobil, built in the 1940s, the pipeline, and it's spewing how many thousands of barrels so far that at least they've owned up to?
Well, we know already that according to Exxon, that 12,000 barrels, and of course the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has labeled this a major spill, which is pretty scary.
But the pipeline accidents, just a brief history of the pipeline accidents in the United States, they've led to the deaths of 500 people and injured 4,000 since 1986. And last year there were 364 spills from U.S. pipelines, which released about 54,000 barrels of oil and refined products. So this is getting up there already, this Exxon spill.
Well, that's right. I mean, this is really a major spill, and I think that it taking place in a suburban community is just so shocking. But as you've pointed out, there are many spills every year, and that really transporting oil generally, but in particular this Canadian tar sands oil, is really a difficult and dangerous undertaking, and it's why so many people feel these pipelines should not exist. We should not be allowing the Canadians to be transporting this dirty and dangerous oil across the United States and just for pumping it into international commerce.
So let's talk about then the extent to which this is going to affect the Keystone XL pipeline debate and the activism that surrounded it, because there's some very passionate and dedicated people have been trying to stop this, and farmers whose land this pipeline will cross are concerned about the aquifers in Montana and across the states that will that this pipeline will cross are very concerned. But two-thirds, apparently, in a recent poll, two-thirds of the American people back the Keystone pipeline, and obviously a lot of those are the drill baby drill people. Will this perhaps be a wake-up call and maybe change those numbers? But and of course, on the other side, belief in global warming is trending upwards in spite of the, you know, global warming deniers that are out there in the Senate and on Fox News.
Well, yes, I think that this is a kind of remarkable and potentially game-changing moment. I think that There are a lot of claims, of course, about jobs. And in fact, what we know is that when we see 22 families evacuated from their homes, when we see entire communities put at risk, when we see something like Lake Conway potentially put at risk, we realize that the real cost here is quite evident, and that these pipelines are dangerous, and to be transporting dirty and dangerous Canadian tar sands oil, which we're not getting any benefit from, but which is really about Canadian oil companies' profits, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. And at the same time, I think there is a growing public understanding that the production of this oil is just devastating in terms of climate change impacts, and that there can really be no argument that allowing these pipelines to exist is not helping to encourage the development of Canadian tar sands, and thereby the U.S. government is really participating, if it chooses to give the go-aheads to Keystone, in encouraging further global warming in a way that's really unacceptable. So I think that this bill, dramatic as it is, really does come at a remarkable moment where people are demanding that the government learn the lesson of both kind of Superstorm Sandy, but also of the Gulf spill, and recognize that we've got to have a more reasonable program in terms of how we produce our energy, and that developing the most dirty and dangerous forms of oil shouldn't be a part of that.
Well, but I recall seeing those touchy-feely ads that the oil companies put out about how they're diversifying their energy portfolios and how concerned they are about the environment and our energy independence, etc. Exxon has been putting out ads saying that they're pushing the Keystone XL pipeline in the Canadian tar sands. So it may be that Canadians are profiting from it, but on the other hand, it seems that Exxon is also. At least they've got some kind of investment in it.
Well, that's right. I mean, I don't think, you know, Exxon made $44.9 billion in profits last year. So oil is big business. And I think you see just the vast sums of money that the oil companies spend in lobbying the government, in pumping money into candidacy. It goes without saying that the oil industry is a big political player. And for that very reason, they put the government under a lot of pressure to give the go-ahead to these dangerous pipelines. I think the counterforce here is that this administration has said that it recognizes that climate change is real and that they've got to get a grip on it and they've got to try to turn the situation around. So I think Keystone is a kind of decisive decision for Obama that you can't have it both ways. You've either got to decide to really move into a path where you stop these most dirty and dangerous forms of energy production, or you just accept that we're going to have catastrophic climate change in the future.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Damon Moglen.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening. Again, I've been speaking with Damon Moglen, who is the Climate and Energy Program Director at Friends of the Earth and the former Global Warming Campaign Director at Greenpeace USA. He's worked on climate, energy, and nuclear issues for nearly 20 years with Greenpeace International, Physicians for Social Responsibility, and the Union of Concerned Scientists. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Nick Guarino. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Bye.